This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. Our guest this morning is David Corton, president and founder of the People-Centered Development Forum, chair of the board of Yes Magazine, and a board member of the Business Alliance for Local Living Economies. He is author of The Great Turning, The Post-Corporate World, and When Corporations Rule the World. David Corton is here today to tell us about his most recent book, titled Agenda for a New Economy, From Phantom Wealth to Real Wealth, Why Wall Street Can't Be Fixed and How to Replace It, published in 2009 by Barrett Kohler Publishers. Welcome back to the sustainability segment, David.
Delighted to be with you again.
The subtitle of your book refers to phantom wealth. What do you mean by phantom wealth?
Well, we basically have an economy that's been ruled by Wall Street around a philosophy that through financial bubbles, you can create wealth out of nothing effortlessly without producing anything of real value, and that this is the way to manage an economy. And they have done amazingly well at it during the 90s of pushing a stock bubble and, of course, more recently, pumping up a bubble on housing prices. Now, it's quite extraordinary that a lot of people involved in it actually believe that that's creating wealth. But in fact, you know, pushing up the price of an asset does nothing to increase its utility or necessarily add anything to the goods and services available to society. What it only does is increases the financial assets of the people who are gaining from the bubble so that they can increase their control over a greater share of the real resources of the rest of society. It's an economic model that is destined to collapse. It's only a question of when, and we have now experienced that. What I'm arguing in this book is that, you know, instead of trying to restore what is basically a failed economic model, we need to use the opportunity to create a new economy that is devoted to the production of real wealth and to meeting real human needs.
Could you elaborate on what real wealth is made of?
Well, real wealth is all the things that have real utility in improving our lives. If you go to the deepest level, real wealth is living wealth. It's healthy, happy children. It's strong families. It's strong communities. It's healthy human beings. It's a healthy natural environment. And of course, the things that are most important in terms of real wealth, love, caring communities, and so forth, are beyond price. They can't be purchased. And trying to reduce them to financial values just simply creates enormous distortion.
Could you say more about how the creation of phantom wealth has helped lead to our current economic crisis?
Well, essentially, what we've got to recognize is that the real ruling institutions in our society are the institutions of money, because we have created a society in which virtually everything we do depends on money. And the Wall Street financial institutions control the creation and the allocation of money, which gives them ultimate power over society, and they basically hold even the politicians hostage, not just simply by their control of campaign contributions, but also because the politicians are very aware that the financial system can shut down the whole economy, as in fact they have done. Now, what Wall Street's been doing, it's been consistently managing the economy to push down wages while pushing up returns to financial speculators. This has driven ordinary people into ever greater desperation as wages fall relative to inflation and push many people into taking out second mortgages or running up debt on their credit card just simply to maintain their household, to make up for the falling income. It gets terribly destructive, not only in terms of the financial desperation, but it also means that to raise a family, you have to have two people in the household who are both working sometimes more than one job each, which means that the children are left without care. It means that there's no one with the time to engage in community building activities and so forth. It means we get increasingly isolated. Our children are increasingly isolated. The whole social fabric of society breaks down, and the whole goal of the system is basically simply to make more money for people who have money, which consistently increases the income gap and the inequality in society. And of course, all of this is managed in a way that is increasing the economy's burden on the environment and destroying the life support systems of the planet. So So it's hard to imagine designing an economy that would ultimately be more destructive, and yet because it's creating money and we've become so attracted to the illusion that money is wealth, that we tend not to notice that we have an economy that's far from making us wealthier. It is, in fact, killing us. And the financial collapse has kind of pulled away the curtain to expose that reality.
We've been hearing about having more and better regulations in regard to Wall Street, but would you explain why you believe Wall Street can't be fixed?
Yeah, well, it's because the whole goal is the wrong goal. The whole thing is designed to reward speculators and people playing financial games. So it is the wrong purpose. Now, we certainly need regulation of the financial institutions, but ultimately we need to fundamentally redesign the system and create a financial system that is designed not to reward speculation and financial bubbles, but rather to serve the needs of Main Street economies that are actually producing real goods and services.
I'm Diane Horn, and we are speaking with David Corton, author of the book, Agenda for a New Economy, From Phantom Wealth to Real Wealth, Why Wall Street Can't Be Fixed and How to Replace It. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. You've alluded to this already, but if we eliminate Wall Street and our current financial system, what should replace it? What should the new economy consist of?
Well, basically, it should consist of businesses that are meeting real needs in their community. There's just no need for firms that are creating fictitious assets, that are betting on selling assets that they don't own, insuring assets they don't own. You know, when I was a kid, my dad was in business in our town, and, you know, our bank was a local bank, a locally owned bank. It was a place where people placed their savings in good, secure holding, and if local businesses needed loans, they went to their bank. People got loans from the bank to buy their homes. Now, what's happened over time is the big banks have bought up the small banks, consolidated the whole system so that instead of a financial system that is serving the local community, it has morphed into a system in which our local banks, for the most part, are in the business of extracting wealth from the community to send it off to Wall Street. Now, one of the things that to me is an obvious need in terms of the financial bailout package, the government has been acquiring shares in the big banks, ownership shares. Now, in my view, instead of just pumping up their assets so that they can pay out bigger bonuses and buy more corporate jets and buy up more smaller banks, actually the government should be taking over those banks on a temporary basis to fundamentally restructure them, you know, to put in programs of compensation that are equitable and consistent with the realities of the rest of the society. But also over time, it should reverse that whole process of consolidation and centralization of power and essentially spin off the individual banks as locally owned banks, perhaps owned on cooperative models like mutual savings and loans that are rooted in their community and are devoted to serving the community's financial needs. Now, we also need to look at the larger question of how we create money. Our money is currently created when banks lend it into existence. It's really such an amazingly simple process. You know, if you go to the bank and take out a loan, the bank makes two accounting entries. It makes an entry as an asset representing the money that you owe the bank, and then it makes a corresponding entry to create the liability, the account that you can draw against for the proceeds of the loan. That is how money is created by private bankers, which means you then need to pay back the bank with interest. It makes it a pretty good business because the bank's product they create out of nothing. But it also means that the money supply becomes very unstable because it depends on banks issuing loans. It also creates a requirement that the economy expand at a rate fast enough to generate demand for new loans in order to create the interest necessary to repay back the interest on the loan so that the whole system doesn't go into default. So we have these destructive dynamics of abrupt business cycles and the demand for environmentally and socially destructive growth all built right into the money system. And it's time that we change that system, particularly as we're facing huge governmental debts. much of that debt can be simply monetized by the government printing the money, essentially, or making its own accounting entries to pay off the debt and to put the additional money into the economy needed to restore employment and economic activity without going to the banks and borrowing and paying interest to the banks that created the crisis in the first place.
As you look at the approach of the Obama administration so far to dealing with our economic crisis, what is your evaluation?
Well, it certainly is doing a much better job than the Bush administration. And the Bush administration was basically dumping money into a bucket with no bottom. And it was totally irresponsible and, as we've seen, totally ineffective. You know, because the bankers themselves have absolutely no interest in anything other than their own profits. It's really interesting that they don't even support the interests of their shareholders. The whole system is designed simply to maximize the fees of the bankers and the hedge fund managers. Now, the Obama administration has taken a very different approach, focusing on economic stimulus to create jobs at the bottom, which makes a whole lot more sense. And it's much closer to what we need. But the thing that's missing from the conversation is the need to fundamentally restructure the whole system. Now, the Obama administration is talking about green jobs, and that's a very important piece. But they also need to be dealing much more forthrightly with they need to fundamentally restructure the whole financial and monetary system, and in terms of their stimulus, their job creation, create a strong bias in that program in favor of local independent businesses, businesses that are rooted in community, that plan to be there for a long time, that are committed to serving the community rather than simply extracting the wealth of the community to make rich people richer.
Do you see any hope that the Obama administration might come closer to your ideas?
Well, they're certainly closer to begin with. It's very unlikely that the Obama administration is going to be putting forth, at least in the near term, putting forth proposals as far-reaching as those that I've laid out in Agenda for a New Economy. And the reason is that most of these ideas are not even out there in the discussion. He would be reaching way out beyond the public discourse and debate, which is actually why I wrote the book, that I realized that these larger issues needed to be on the table and needed to be part of the public discussion so that we can begin to build political support for the deeper kinds of actions that the administration needs to take. And, of course, it's interesting that at the very heart of the whole thing, you know, at least financially, economically, is the issue of how we create money. And that's an issue that is known by very few people and in recent history has simply not been part of the public conversation. But now the system has failed so badly, the government is so far in debt, the economy is failing because of a simple lack of adequate money circulating in the economy in the right places, it is an opening for that conversation, which is long overdue. And that of course, is why independent media sources like KEXP are so important to bring out these conversations that you're simply not going to hear raised by corporate media.
In addition to the lack of conversation about these issues, what most stands in the way of the changes you would like to see?
Well, we've become captive to this whole problem by a number of false beliefs that have been perpetrated in the culture and misdirect our attention, starting with the idea that money is wealth, which, of course, is a total fallacy. Money is nothing more than a number. It has no meaning outside the human mind. But to the extent that we accept the illusion that money is real wealth, then we slip into the trap of accepting the idea that people who are making money or creating money are producing real wealth. And then we further slip into this just obscene, immoral philosophy that if we simply each pursue our individual financial return without regard to social or environmental consequences, we are thereby fulfilling our public duty and maximizing our contribution to the public good. Now, all of these are fallacies and illusions, and people recognize almost instantly when it's pointed out that that is the case. But since the fallacies are not being pointed out in the media or in the public discussion, we stay trapped in what I refer to as a cultural trance. So part of the answer, and one of the most radical things we can do, is simply promote conversation, as you're doing, about the reality that real wealth is not money. Real wealth is life. It's the real quality of our life. The reality that people who are simply making money without producing anything of real benefit are essentially engaged in an act of theft or piracy, expropriating the real wealth of the rest of the society. And the idea that we best fulfill our civic duty by maximizing our personal financial return, it's the ultimate immoral philosophy. For society to survive and function, we each have to act as responsible adults and recognizing the interests and needs of our neighbors and the fact that there is a public good that is essential to our individual well-being but must be pursued based on collective rather than simply individual choices.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is David Korten, author of the book Agenda for a New Economy, From Phantom Wealth to Real Wealth, Why Wall Street Can't Be Fixed and How to Replace It. What would life in a real wealth economy look like as opposed to life in a phantom wealth economy?
Well, we would be putting a lot more attention on the things that are essential to our true health and happiness and well-being. And one of the things that comes out of current research is that actually in the area of public health is that the things that are actually most important to our health and well-being are things like the strength of our community and also equity in the society, an absence of extremes of status and economic power. We would be shifting to build community, to move toward equity. We would realize that we have to continuously maintain a flow of resources. Well, we have to continuously redistribute to maintain equity in the economy. But it also means that we would be focusing our attention on producing reliable, healthful food, locally produced with organic methods. It means we would be organizing our economy to assure adequate shelter for people, essentially meeting basic needs, but doing it in a way that, rather than separating people, builds community. You know, it would look a lot more like a farmer's market than a Walmart superstore. The focus would be not on making money, but on how we actually live and on the depth and quality of our relationships.
What are some steps individuals can take to help bring about a new economy?
Well, it would be, first of all, to be conscious of where we shop, to shop locally, to buy local products. It would mean getting much more clear on the things that actually support the quality of our lives. It would be join the voluntary simplicity movement, be conscious in our purchasing choices, give priority to purchasing from local businesses. We also, in terms of individual action, would be to engage in conversations with our friends and our neighbors and in our churches and our civic groups, our book discussion groups, and so forth about the stories that we need to change to expose the fallacies of our existing culture, beginning to change the whole values frame of the society, to engage the conversation about the need to recognize that there is a public interest, there is a shared interest, and that our relationships with one another and the earth make a difference.
At the level of public policy, what do you see as the leverage points to bring about change?
Well, there's a whole variety of things that we need to do to redirect the focus of economic policy from growing phantom wealth to growing real wealth. You know, one of the leverage points right now would be to put in place some tax policies that begin to recover Wall Street's unearned profits. President Obama just chastised the Wall Street bankers for their huge bonuses. You know, we should be putting through a quick tax measure that simply captures those. I mean, the idea that big bankers can take off big unearned bonuses paid for literally with taxpayers' money from the bailout is so obscene that it really opens the opportunity to put through some quick tax measures to totally reclaim that money. We also need to be implementing a whole variety of basic market principles, one of the most important of which is full cost market pricing. so much of the Wall Street profits and bonuses are paid for by externalizing environmental and social costs. So if a company is not providing its workers with health care or is paying substandard wages, it should be charged compensating fees. Similarly, if it's abusing environmental resources, the public should reclaim that through charges to the firm rather than absorbing the cost. We need to reclaim the corporate charter. Corporate charters give corporations extraordinary benefits and advantages that there's no justification for except to serve a public purpose, and we can rewrite corporate charters accordingly. We need to rethink all our trade policies to recognize that each society, each country has the right, even the responsibility to manage its economy in ways that meet the needs of its own people rather than managing it in ways that best serve the profit interests of foreign corporations. We need to be favoring local ownership, local economic self-reliance, facilitate and fund stakeholder buyouts of existing enterprises, and starting with the banks. We need to change our tax policies to recognize the importance of equity and to move forward a process of redistributing wealth in the society so that there's greater equity, a greater foundation for community, and a support for each person being able to better meet their own needs. It's quite a long list. There are so many things that we need to do because we have over the past 30 to 40 years been restructuring the economy specifically in all the wrong ways that are all geared to supporting Wall Street profits at the expense of the health, wealth, and well-being of ordinary people.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Well, that we have an opportunity as a result of this financial crisis to raise the big questions and to engage the work of restructuring the economy, because Wall Street has demonstrated beyond question the depth of its corruption and the extent to which its goals are wholly at odds with the goals of the larger society. It is functioning much more like a criminal syndicate than like a responsible member of society. That needs to be brought to the fore so that we can begin asking the question of what are the things that are essential to our real health, well-being, and happiness as people, and how do we begin to structure and manage and evaluate an economy that serves our real needs and interests rather than the needs and interests of Wall Street speculators.
Well, thanks so much for being here, David.
It's been my pleasure.
We have just been speaking with David Corton, author of the book Agenda for a New Economy, From Phantom Wealth to Real Wealth, Why Wall Street Can't Be Fixed and How to Replace It, published in 2009 by Barrett Kohler Publishers. For more information, check on the web at www.davidcorton.org. That's DavidKorten.org. And also greatturning.org. That's GreatTurning.org. The Sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, selected sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on Podcasting, and scroll down to Mind Over Matters Sustainability segment. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the Sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and KEXP.org.